Our sponsor today is none other than our Patreon members. You folks are bringing swords and HEMA to listeners worldwide, so thank you. To support our work and receive exclusive benefits, visit patreon.com/swordwomen. Welcome to By the Sword, where we discuss the modern study of historical European martial arts, or HEMA, with instructors, experts, and martial artists from all over the world. Today's episode is with William Dawson of the School of the Sword in the UK. We talk about the intersection between historical European martial arts and live action roleplay. The episode was recorded on Instagram Live, 21st November, 2021. So, William Dawson, thank you for joining me.
No worries. Thank you.
So, yeah, this is a bit of a fun one because you're actually one of my students. So,
yes.
you're one of my students at the School of the Sword. You train in Reading and I teach in Godalming, but over lockdown, I was teaching you. First, we were doing lessons on Zoom, and then when it was allowed to meet up one person at a time, we were doing lessons in the park. So really, really happy to have you on the show, and it's lovely to see you. And you're in a different garb today.
Yes.
That is a fantastic hat.
Thank you. I thought I'd dressed the part before going down in online infamy and disrepute.
Yeah, we can talk up the hat a lot because this is going to be a podcast. So what's the hat? Yeah.
This is, oh God, I think it's called a chaperon, mm-hmm. if that is the correct term. I got it to play one of my characters in LARP. Mm-hmm. I got it from Cloak and Daggered, if anyone is interested in getting mm-hmm. one. They had a sale on, so I got it and acquired some little decorations. These two are to represent campaigns my character has been on, and this is just something I got at Torm last week, a couple of weeks ago, because I thought it was pretty neat. And
So
it is indeed a lovely hat.
The reason we're having the interview is because you're a LARPer.
Yes.
LARPist, I don't know, is it LARPer?
LARPer.
You're a LARPer and you also do HEMA, so we thought it would be an interesting discussion to sort of look at the two parallel universes and how they fit
yes.
together. So my first question for you is, like, imagine, well, I don't know an awful lot about LARP other than people dress up as characters and play, you know, imaginary games.
Yeah.
What is LARP?
Well, people dress up as characters and play imaginary games.
Yeah.
So LARP stands for Live Action Roleplay. It is an extremely broad church sort of hobby. The basis of it is that people get into various roles and in various different scenarios and roleplay them out. The first LARP in the UK was called Treasure Trap, which was set up in 1982 in Peckforton Castle. I found that out with a cheeky Google a few minutes before logging on. And in that LARP and many others since then, basically people pretended to be characters in a fantasy setting and run around various sorts of fake weaponry and fake powers, like it's a Dungeons & Dragons game, but in reality. And they have fights, and they do their role-play in imaginary universes, and have a lovely time. There are lots of other LARPs in lots of other settings. Lots of them don't involve any combat. Some of them involve, like, you know, quite complex and in-depth themes. The ones I do are generally these sort of fantasy combat sort of LARPs. So games like Empire or Lorien Trust or other ones of that sort, but there are lots of others, and I don't want anyone to go into this thinking that this is the entirety of the hobby.
So what drew you into LARP? How did you come across it?
All right, so it was way back in, God help me, 2010, and I was going to the University of Nottingham as a fresher. I was joining our role-playing games and wargaming society. At that time, I thought that the expensive nerd hobby I would take up would be Warhammer and toy soldiers. But their LARP was having a taster session, so I came along, made a complete idiot of myself, had a great time, and was hooked ever since. And so yeah, that's how I got into LARP.
Mm-hmm.
What drew me into it was it was a mixture of the role playing, sort of pretending to be someone else, and the running around hitting people with swords aspect of it. And it was just such a weird new thing to try at university. Just get out there, have some exercise with a bunch of fellow nerds, and have a good time. And so that's what hooked me in, and I've been involved in gradually developing in that hobby ever since.
Now,
So, yeah.
The thing that kind of people find intimidating about any new hobby is doing it and feeling stupid, right?
Yeah.
And thinking, oh my God, everyone's looking at me and laughing at me, and I'm not doing this right. How does that pan out when you start doing LARP? Because it's an inherently, you know, potentially seem to be quite silly.
Yeah.
You know, it's grown ups playing make believe or acting.
Grown ups
want to look at it. How does that pan out?
Our university society was pretty lucky because we do ours at night around a lake on the university grounds. So we have relatively few such people, few sort of interested observers showing up. Mostly they just show up, quietly ask a ref what's going on, they walk away again and play resumes.
Mm-hmm.
Other games do take place in daytime on public locations. But most of the time, people just walk their dogs through the fighting, and like sort of play stops for a bit. They sort of ask curiously what's happening and move on. A couple of times, people have sort of like you know driven past in their cars and like sort of yelled something or whatever and driven on, but it hasn't really been a big problem. Like,
but
play
I mean,
goes on. And,
but I mean,
yeah,
you as an individual, right,
mm-hmm.
going to your first laugh, thinking, oh my God, this is really nerve-wracking. What was it like? Is it actually nerve-wracking, or once you start, is it like, oh, this is fine, this is fun?
I still find going to new games to be pretty nerve-wracking myself, actually, or indeed current games, because you know we've had lockdown problems, so lots of the events have been on hold. But it can be pretty nerve-wracking. But once everyone gets in character and into the swing of things, then the nerves, if they don't necessarily go away, but they recede a bit, and everyone just gets into character and caught up in the role play of it, I guess.
It's a bit like you know nerdy people with nerdy hobbies who. They tend to be very introverted and not like gathering in large groups.
Yeah.
Unless it's their hobby, and then suddenly they don't mind doing it.
Yeah, come out of the shell. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because like you see it in like conventions that the geeky folks there are quite obviously not accustomed to or don't like you know large crowds of people unless it's their thing. And then they suddenly. You know, they're prepared to deal with the, you know, draining the social battery for a bit.
Yeah.
To do the thing that they love. So then you got into HEMA 10 years
yes.
later.
Oh, God.
how did you come across HEMA?
So I first came across HEMA like sometime in the middle of the decade whilst I was doing LARP. I sort of started watching Scholar Gladiatorio on YouTube for a bit, and you know, this is an interesting sword thing, let's see how it can inspire my sword fighting. It did not improve my sword fighting because it was watching on YouTube, but you know, I made interesting poses, and they sometimes got noticed, sometimes didn't. Flash forward to a few years later, and like I was just bored around New Year's Day looking around the internet. And something flashed up on Facebook saying School of the Sword Reading will be holding a new class with some intake, and you know they were quite close to where I lived, so I just, all right, may as well come along, make some new friends, and move on from university. And so I did, and met up with a great new, large new group of candidati of our new people. Took up this lovely new sort of hobby, and it was like, yeah, it's January 2020. It's going to be a great year for meeting people and socializing and moving on with my life. And it was not. but well, not in the immediate term anyway, but yeah.
That was a bit of a break. So yeah,
yes.
I think out of all of the candidati, the beginner group, you were the most diligent attendee.
Oh,
out of all of them, you had the 100% attendance rate. And
oh.
and then I was teaching online, and you signed up for that.
Yeah.
And we worked through a lot of Manciolino plays.
Yes.
And then we managed to meet up in person when it was allowed, and you carried on your training from there. Have you gone back to training with the Reading group now?
Yes. I've gone back to training with the Reading bunch. My attendance isn't 100%. I had other stuff going on. Like a couple of weeks ago, I had a LARP, which involved me going up to like the Scottish border and back. So it was like, I'm too tired.
Bloody LARP.
I'm sorry. I know, right? Damn LARPers. But yeah, I got to do a HEMA show fight in it, so that was pretty cool, I guess.
Awesome. I was going to ask you, that was going to be my next question. What benefits do you get from doing HEMA in your LARP fighting? Have you found any, has it made you more awesome or not?
So let's cover this in like two separate parts. First up, like normal LARP skirmish scenarios, like, you know, like a group of people go out there into the woods or wherever and have a ruck. We haven't had that many of these recently, although they are starting to come back now. I would say that in terms of the actual moves and things, I wish I could say that I remembered all the Manciolino stuff perfectly and carried it over, but alas, no. I revert back to old habits pretty quickly. In terms of, however, generally having practice and using a weapon and fighting people in general, that was enormously useful. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of like, I have a theory that basically what HEMA gives you is regular practice, and that keeps your senses sharp and ready. So like, you know, you are more used to getting into fights, and like, it doesn't mean that you auto win or anything, but like regular practice is great. And the second part is that you have some cool moves that you can, if you are sufficiently keen, dredge up for appropriate circumstances. Mm-hmm. So, like, I as well as the spending sort of school, I have some mates that I just do stuff with online from time to time, and we've been looking at some Marozzo with blade and cape stuff, and we're just like, you know what? If we were to just show these off at a LARP, man, it would be pretty funny. So, like, me and one of them was showing up to the same event, and we put together like a little play thing, and we got to use swords and capes to show off, and they thought it was ridiculously showy and practical stage fighting, and much of it was, but they didn't necessarily appreciate the historicity of some of the moves that we were doing, like sort of Marozzo's cape and dagger plays, but we enjoyed it, people seemed to enjoy watching it, and yeah, it can give you some extreme showboating that you can carry over if you're that way inclined.
So yeah, not quite the level up that you expected it to be, but it does help with the mindset, would you say?
Well, it keeps you practiced, which a lot of people were not necessarily practiced after lockdown. So in that sense, it was a huge level up.
Mm.
And it definitely keeps you focused and keeps you ready, thinking in terms of like sword fight things like distancing and so on. Mm-hmm. And like the techniques aren't necessarily magical, but they can be useful and unexpected, which can give you the edge sometimes as well.
I mean, I'm just gonna, so before I get into this, I'm just gonna say to the folks at home, if you want to ask William any questions about LARP or either of us any questions about anything related to this discussion, please hit the button at the bottom of your phone. It looks like a question mark if you want to ask us something LARP or HEMA related. So yeah, the HEMA translating over into LARP, I guess there are limits because of the weapons that you're using.
Yeah.
And the rule sets, more importantly. But there's got to be sort of safety elements that prevent you from doing lots of the stuff that we do in HEMA, I imagine.
To an extent, yeah. I'll just take you for a little walk and let's see if my phone works. Ah, okay. So this is a LARP. This is a LARP weapon next to my lovely, lovely side sword. Mm-hmm. This is a 42-inch Medlock. 42-inch Medlock rapier.
Yeah.
It is pretty typical of LARP weapons. It is made of foam with a carbon fiber core and layers of latex and paint on the outside. Big thing is that you can't really thrust with this, because if you thrust with it, then the tip of the core sort of might burst out and stab someone, which would be bad. Also, like most LARPers, most LARP combat is done wearing, you know, robes or chainmail or armor or whatever, but not with like a full fencing mask or padding or whatever. So like the parameters are a bit different. But equally, there is an awful lot, but you know, there's an awful lot of overlap as well. There is some, you know, you can use similar sort of mindset. There's distancing, it still applies. Fainting still applies. Like, generally, like being able to read what the opponent is doing still applies. I'm just going to switch it back around now. And from my very limited experience of various HEMA disciplines, I think military saber is pretty close to some forms of LARP fighting in that it's all cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the training method is often very similar as well, because saber fencers often end up teaching LARPers. So they tend to have numbered cuts and numbered parries and numbered guards and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Easier
to learn numbers than names.
Yeah, exactly. Linear footwork as well. But equally, I'd also say that whilst the rule set can be important, so like things like ranged magic and calls, and you can take multiple hits, which is not the case in most HEMA contests and such, is different. Like also, like there's the fact that in a HEMA, most HEMA takes place one to one, whereas a lot of LARP combat will take place between groups of people.
Yeah.
So that is a very different dynamic to HEMA dueling. I think. Well,
you were at fight camp this year, weren't you? So did you take part in the melee games there?
I got to take part in the Academy of Historical Fencing's Royal Navy stuff. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could say that I sort of took my LARP experience and murdered them, but I got wrecked repeatedly. But yeah, like that was really cool with like just like
They're
masses
just
of
doing,
people.
Was it boarding actions or something?
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, going with like cutlasses and pistols and stuff. Like that was really cool. And like, but the impression I get is that most HEMA clubs don't do that sort of thing very much.
No.
Big focus on one to one.
Yeah. I think it's because of the majority of the material is about the duel.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know the fencing schools are teaching people to duel rather than, well, I mean, there was some kind of, there are in some of the like books, like Gigante, for example, Gigante's second book, he talks about self-defense, and that can be dealing with multiple opponents. But in the majority of cases, it's you versus lots of people rather than you and your friends versus lots of people. So yeah, it doesn't come up an awful lot. So you didn't get to do, because there was every year at Fight Camp, this is a big HEMA event in the UK for those of you listening, in recent years they started doing some melee games at the end, which is, like I was saying, it's unusual in HEMA to do groups versus groups, and they change them slightly each year, but it's essentially, I think, you have five people, I think, versus another five people. You start at opposite ends of the field, and then you run into the middle, and you see which team can eliminate the most number of fighters. I think it just goes down to the last person standing usually. And each person will have a different weapon usually. So it'll be like a long sword, a saber, or a sword and buckler. Sometimes there'll be someone with a spear, and the spear just takes everybody out usually.
But it does.
Spears are better than anything.
Indeed, but, they are.
They really are. But yeah, it's. I thought it's quite interesting. I'd like to see a team of LARPers doing that game against a bunch of Hemerists to see what happens.
They could
be used to working as a group rather than as an individual. We've got a question.
Yes.
Smoky Whiskers. Rick says, did you find the AHF class on Pringle Green's boarding tactics useful for LARP? That's what we were just saying. So, was it useful for your LARP? Did it help you?
It was really good to get back into practice, that sort of thing again. I had not done that for a little while. I had not done that sort of mass combat thing for ages. But yeah, it was great to get back into practice and get used to like pushing as a group. And that, you know, all the finesse in the world doesn't really matter if there's like two of you and they're attacking like one of them. And yeah, it was really good. And yeah, I think I've seen on some of their YouTube as well. They've done things like trying to take a French eagle or something like that. And like, yeah, like all this mass combat stuff is really cool.
Yeah. So it was a chance to get back into the swing of it. HEMA environment.
Yeah. Also, I didn't know that they used their pistols like parrying daggers, which was incredibly rad.
I was talking to Rick about this yesterday, actually using the pistol as a parrying device rather than just to bash people with, but actually to sort of ward off attacks with. It sounds pretty badass. So lots of people do LARP. Hardly anyone does HEMA. I asked you earlier offline why do you think that is. Why can't we gateway drug these LARPists into HEMA? Why aren't they joining our ranks?
First up is the obvious that, like, you know, people only have so much time and money to put into nerdy sword hobbies.
Yeah.
Sadly. And so yeah, that's one thing. Another I think is that like LARP offers like a far more sort of obviously sort of big sort of, well, in the case of the big festival LARPs that I go to, like Empire LARP, sort of like you get to live in a fantasy world, and that means more than like practicing with a sword. It means getting out there and live role playing, and you know, doing your socializing and your politicking and your trade and your all sorts of stuff beyond just meeting up and fencing people.
So it's like a full immersion. Just one aspect.
That is the aim. Yes. Not necessarily always met in reality, but that is the aim of it.
Because in HEMA, we're only looking at one aspect, which is just the fighting. We're not playing characters or anything.
Yeah.
Although that said, some people do argue that HEMA is just a really elaborate LARP. More expensive thoughts. It's, I guess the appeal of LARP is that it, like you say, it's a whole world basically, rather than just looking at this one particular thing. Do you think? I mean, I've had a few people come to me, like especially over lockdown, people who were LARP fencers, about three or four, as well as yourself, who wanted private lessons, who wanted to take up HEMA because they thought it would help their LARP.
Yeah.
End up getting into HEMA anyway. How well known would you say HEMA is within the LARP community? Because everyone in HEMA knows what LARP is. Do they know that we exist?
I think it is getting increasingly well known. Like you're with like Scholar Gladiatoria and By the Sword and various other sources. Most LARPers, I think, will know that HEMA does exist. They may not know that a nearby club exists or where to find it or whatever, but they will know of it certainly for the most part.
It's I mean, yeah, it's I can understand why a LARP is more appealing than HEMA, to be honest. For one thing, less likely to get injured.
Oh God, I don't want to run the numbers, but like some of the large scale LARP fights with, like hundreds of people aside, can get a bit hairy, will not lie. But yeah, I don't have any source of numbers for any of that really. It's different sorts of risk, I'd say.
So let's look at it from the other end. How would you sell LARP to HEMA people? Those very
Oh.
curious, fusty, dusty book
Oh
nerds.
God. Fussy dusty book nerds, unlike LARPers who
Yeah.
like books and indeed dust. So how would I sell LARP to HEMA?
Yeah.
HEMAists? Well, first up, lots of HEMA sources aren't just I can't, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go against what you said earlier, aren't exclusively written for the duel. I mean, like Fiore has a bit where, like, you have to defend yourself with like a baton whilst you're sitting down in a meeting,
Yeah.
and that sort of thing, which, like, that isn't going to turn up in like a fencing cell. So if you're thinking of it as just like straight up like weapons and stuff, then you get to test your skills in a much broader variety of circumstances. So like you get to do like sometimes you do get in like street fights and assassination attempts and like large battles and that sort of thing, which is a different environment to HEMA, but a cool one. You get to fight lots and lots of different weapons and in lots of different situations. And whilst these may not be using book learned technique, it is another way of appreciating martial arts and putting the skills to good use and that sort of thing. I would also say that lots of HEMAists, most HEMAists, dare I say, got into the hobby because, like, sometime years and years ago, they wanted to be a knight or in shining armor or something like that. And this is another way to do that, but unlike HEMA, where you wear a fencing mask and this, you wear a fantastic hat, if I so say myself, or whatever, and play out a fantasy character. Also, like, there are a bunch of humorists who do LARP, so like you wouldn't be alone.
There are a lot of humor people that do both. It's an interesting world, parallel world, that humor people might be interested in. And for those who do LARP, wouldn't hurt to learn some HEMA techniques. Use some steel swords rather than some foam
Yes.
ones,
Yeah.
because they do handle differently and
Ab
everything.
absolutely.
And
Yeah.
you're right, like there are a lot of sources. Like a lot of the time when you go to a HEMA event, that's when people bust out the weird stuff. Like, I'll do you survive a tavern brawl or
Yeah.
a boarding situation. And there was another situation. There was another workshop that same day. I think it might have even been at the same time at Fight Camp, which was about having a fight on a train in Wardian
With
times. There was lots of people
oh
doing
God,
Bartitsu. It looked like something
yeah,
in Kingsman. It was lots of people beating each other with canes and
yeah.
kicking
What's
each other
that?
and stuff.
The yeah. The was that the suffragitsu one or whatever. Oh, cool. Yeah, that was cool. I wish I could have gone there, but only so much time in an event.
I had a look at that one. That one would look really fun. So LARP is a chance to sort of live out those weird situational fighting scenarios that you wouldn't necessarily come off across that often in HEMA, and a chance to dress up fancy and
Play a
play
character and do
character.
other things,
Yeah, that leads me to say, William, thank you so much for joining me. It was lovely to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
And are you going to Wessex?
Oh God, I'm considering volunteering. I've got a bunch of other stuff going on at the moment, but I might be.
Okay.
So yeah.
See you at Wessex, maybe.
Okay.
I'll catch you there. Take care.
I'm sorry. See you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To show your appreciation, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform or support our work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/swordwomen. Go to @swordwomen on Instagram to see upcoming interviews or visit buythesword.net to learn about our events. or visit our Facebook page, By the Sword.